Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't.
I'm sorry,
him.
But I did not
and from
hear
that
impressive.
Point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go! Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam show. Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam show. Turn it up.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 295, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. For joining us, follow us at Crave Wrestling. Of course, join the Facebook fan page, Crave Wrestling. Tonight I have on the show a legendary writer. He's been in the business for quite some time. Without further ado, let's get right into it. Pro wrestling legendary writer and producer and creative genius, Dave Lagana. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm delightful. Wait, but the evening, why am I eating pancakes?
Well, you know, there's chains of pancake places that are open 24 hours. You don't eat pancakes in the evenings?
Yeah, no, I love. I just want to make sure I'm making sure the evening's right here. So I'm good with it. Just make sure if we're going to carb load late in the evening like this, that we're good.
Yeah, absolutely. There's 24-hour gyms as well, so you can atone your pancake eating for some good cardio. So you'll be all set.
Great.
All right, let's get right into it, Dave. So you've got some really interesting projects coming up recently. You know, we can go into your background, but you've been in this for what, about 15 years now in the professional wrestling world?
I think it's 16 or 17 starting in February.
Wow. So just real quick, let's jump right into the most important part of your endeavoring right now is you got some professional wrestling projects now that the company just released a couple of months ago. I'll let the listeners know the Pancakes and Power Slam show what you're up to nowadays.
Billy Corgan purchased the NWA in the summer, and we're putting out. I guess I should say this because I figured you'd be aware. You know, the NWA was known as the largest governing body, the oldest governing body. We're taking the brand that everybody knows and the two things they know, the three letters and the 10 pounds of gold, and presenting the content in every available platform without asking $1 of the consumer. So
yeah.
We have a YouTube show called 10 Pounds of Gold, which I've directed the first six or seven, which follows the story of Tim Storm. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not.
NWA champion.
The champion. Yeah. And, you know, it started in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We just popped up on Tommy Dreamer's show, Crimson's Tried and True show. You'll see in an episode. And also just announced last night, he'll be going to Combat Zone Wrestling on December 9th.
Nice, absolutely. So Tim Storm and Nick Aldis has been feuding lately, for those who are NWA fans. How is that, you know, from seeing Nick Aldis to, you know, to Impact Wrestling, you know, and making a bigger presence in NWA, how is it with him being a part of the fold?
Nick's a very engaging talent. He's a very opinionated talent. He's a very focused talent with us, meaning that every wrestling organization handles their talents completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in every United States-based wrestling organization, and, you know, working with Nick has been great because we have communicated with him what we're looking for. He loves the 24/7 aspect of this company.
Mm-hmm.
Our stories don't end, meaning when a match ends, you don't wait a week until 8 o'clock the next week to find out what happens in the story. It's constantly evolving, and I think you've seen that if you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow sort of the social telling of this story. And basically, Nick Aldis was a guy that people had sort of said, "Oh, he's that TNA guy," just like you said at the beginning. You know, I think Nick is about to enter into a really unique part of his career. He's only 30.
Yeah.
You know, and people have a lot of impressions of him, and I think we've radically changed how people view him in a few short videos.
I think so, too. I had him on my show a little bit after leaving Global Impact, and I made that same point. Just 30 years old, he's accomplished so much and created such an impressive resume, and adding to the NWA model is fantastic. Now, a lot of people, traditionalists, including myself, when they think of NWA, they think of Legendary, they think of Flair, they think of Race, they think of all the greats. Now, how would you tell a traditionalist fan that the concept of the National Wrestling Alliance, now, a lot of people don't realize that the National Wrestling Alliance and you know, it was really a combination of so many promotions, and that's how it was for a number of years, and the NWA that we saw as kids in the 80s, it wasn't just like one promotion. It was just a compilation of a bunch of different promotions. But that's what a lot of traditional fans recognize NWA as the Legendary promotions with the Race and the Flares and so forth. How would you tell a traditionalist fan that this type of NWA, what they're seeing in the new millennium in 2017, it's not going to distaste you from the tradition of old?
Well, I'll ask you, because obviously you consumed our content. What have you taken away from the 10 pounds of gold that would answer your own question?
Well, I think just with the NWA concept, you're not going to get off the hook with that, but I think as far as answering.
You're a traditionalist. I'm asking you, you know, because I think my answer is in the content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in sort of the story we're telling, so I'm curious what you think.
I mean, well, I think just first of all, the belt, I think that just from my personal opinion, just having that belt still brings the prestige with it. And I think it's still, the storylines are important. I think one of the biggest things as far as traditionalists are concerned, it's not a bunch of flipping and flopping and moves and so forth. I'm still very, very tied in stories. And I think that's what professional wrestling is all about, is just the storyline content and just the narration of it. And that's one of the things that I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, so like inside of the documentaries, what part of the story is spoken to?
Well, as far as the documentaries is concerned, I think it lines up again with just the storyline content of just what you're presenting us compared to the moves that we're seeing and just like the lack of story that we see in other promotions that hits me.
Is there anything specific from the 7 or the 6 episodes we released that really spoken to you?
Nothing specific yet as far as just compare. As far as my question is concerned, comparing it to the days of old, I haven't noticed it in anything specific. But what I'm trying to find out from you is, how would you tell the listeners that we're doing that's on the show now, as far as as far as people who haven't really consumed the new NWA product, how would you let them know as far as, hey, this is what it's all about?
Sure. You know, I think the proof is in the pudding or the pancakes. I'd like any listener, literally any listener of this show, to please tweet me at Lagana after they watch the episode. Say, hey, I listened to Pet show, and I watched it, and this is what I took away from it. What's in there is very simple. It is everything from the ropes out is real, meaning the stories, the people's feelings, the interviews, none of it is written. And obviously, if you've consumed it, you know that. So I'd love for any of your listeners to show, literally, while they're listening to this, it's real simple to multitask. Go on Twitter and say, hey, I'm listening to you on Pancakes and Power Slam, and I'll check this out or after you watch it. And I think you will see a complete difference. Like, I just watched the Kevin Owens 365 piece, and they take you to a line where you want to know more, and they don't go there. We go there. So again, watch the videos, and I think you'll have a really interesting perspective of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. A lot of my listeners, there's a chunk that are traditionalists, but a lot of them are kind of inundated in the new WWE product as far as the past, you know, 15 years. So they're not aware of just the kind of 80s type of flair as far as NWA is concerned. All right, Dave, appreciate your time. Of course, let the listeners know where you can find out. I think you sent out your tweet as far as challenging the listeners and to really consume the NWA product and kind of have a taste for it themselves, which I think is fantastic. Let the listeners know where we can find you on social media again.
Sure. My Twitter is at Lagana. The promotion on Twitter is at NWA. You can find it on Instagram at NWA. I think it's still NWA Wrestling on YouTube. We're trying to change that. There's a great website you can find all this information. It's called Google. You can look up NWA Oregon or look me up. You'll find it. You know, what we really enjoyed is people reaching out who have watched the content, really consumed it, and put their critical feedback. If you're ever bored, go search Tim Storm on Twitter. You'll find a lot of really good, feedback and interaction, and that's the best part. I love talking to everybody who has watched all of the content and discuss critically with them what they think of it. And I think that's the best part, and that's why I look forward to hearing from every one of your listeners. And I will respond to every one of their listeners who watches 10 Pounds of Gold. That way we can have a good dialogue with your obviously very active community.
And I'm sure you're ready for the critiques as well, right?
Go ahead and read all the YouTube comments. I don't think we've ever said anything about any critiques, but the problem is people have to watch it first before they can critique it.
Yeah, certainly. Awesome, Dave. Appreciate your time, and thanks so much for joining the show tonight.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. Our mind. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkin with the strength of 100 men, with 1 in 10 to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday raving, anticipating I was frostbit, now I am glacier mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, using God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we rapping that work pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move to. You through, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
thanks so much for the interview, Dave Lagana. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 295 episodes of the Pancake. We are live and living color, getting funky like a monkey if you will. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into the show. We have the co-host with the most from Under the Mat Radio, Evan Tech Proud. How are you tonight, sir?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Absolutely. I can hear you. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right, long day, but I'm here. Good to be on the airwaves, if you will.
If you will.
My show and yours.
Absolutely. And our guest host for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he is back and better than ever, live and living color. Without further ado, Double T, Travis Taylor. How are you,
Double T?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Double T back in the house.
Double T, ladies and gentlemen, if you will, Double T.
Just a thing, if you wrestled back in the 80s, you'll have that default 80 pack with the tights and it said the Double T, the TT on the side of
yes.
the trunks that every wrestler had. On Anderson,
right.
Player,
or you can have,
Magnum.
Or you can have the NWO beat theme music.
Me theme, yeah, the great theme music. Besides Brad Armstrong, the greatest job in music in history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is right there.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna introduce you to the music. And our guest co-host for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the South Jersey former Chicago Police Report, here he comes down the aisle, Double T, Travis Taylor. How are you?
Double T, yeah.
Lots of fireworks and pyrotechnics. Love it.
Yeah, you get the NWO B team theme as well. The generic theme. How's it going tonight, man?
Oh man, it's going good, real good. How about with you?
Going fantastic, man. Ready to dive into this. We got a lot to talk about, man.
We're
gonna have some fun with it. And there's so much that so much new, so much that that's happened over the past weekend. I just wrote an article probably about an hour ago. Of five women from NXT coming up. That's going to be fun to talk about because I have my very, very stern thoughts about that one. So we'll get into that. Yeah, absolutely. We got the live stream coming up. It looks like the sound is coming from my way, but you might not be able to hear the guests for some reason. I'm trying to get that done with the sound team. I don't know what's going on, but the past couple weeks has been a bit of a frustrating thing. But Thanksgiving is a couple of days away, about a day and a half away. So there's a lot to be thankful for, and we'll figure it all out. It'll be fine. We got a lot of people joining us. Through the stream, we got some trivia. We got some Survivor Series trivia. We got the Flavor of the Week this week. It's going to be really, really fun. Flavor of the Week is all three of us, Travis, Evan, and myself, we are going to pick the Mega War Games team, the match, really. The Mega War Games match. We have five of the biggest baby faces and five of the biggest heels to our liking to put them together to create this Mega War Games match. And here's the fun part. Every single babyface and every single heel had to compete in a WCW or an NWA War Games match. So all three of us have our teams ready for the end of the show, and we're going to... Patricia, how are you? We got the live stream coming. So for all those listening right now, get your War Games team together, 5-on-5, five baby faces, five heels, and these people had to have competed in a War Games match all the way dating back, what was the first War Games, 88 or 87? Great American Bash. Great American Bash, 87. Yeah. 87. So from 87 to the War Games in 2000 with Russo that we're not going to count, but you know, if you want to use one of those people, you can. But but you know, I can't believe that was called a. I'm doing great, Patricia. Thank you for asking. We're not even going to talk about how much that was not a War Games match, but I digress, and we will get to what we need to get to tonight. We got Survivor Series, we got Raw, we got SmackDown, we got Freedom War Games, Survivor Series, we got NXT War Games. We got some thoughts on that. I have a very, very highly, highly acclaimed opinion and analysis of one of the matches on the NXT War Games show, and it is not the War Games match. The War Games match was good. We'll talk about that in a minute. But not only was the match that I'm going to talk about here in a few, the best match of the night, in my opinion, but I think it was probably one of the best matches not only of the year, but probably of the decade. And we'll talk about that here.
Any four kids listening or listen to us via Skype or on the airwaves, are they old enough to think back to the year 2007, 2008?
You know, that's funny. I was just having this conversation with someone today. One of my colleagues, she was born in 1990.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
But the funny thing about that is, if you were born in 1990, that makes you 27 years old. She said I was born in 1990, I was like, wow, you're young. And I thought, you're 27. That's not very young.
It's not very young.
When you put it like that, it makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. What year were you born? What year were you born?
I was born in 76.
Ooh, wee. Travis, you are an elder.
I am.
you are an elder. Yes. You got me beat by a few years. So,
man. I was about to start high school in 90. I started in the fall of 1990.
Wow. That goes to show that someone says I was born in 1990, someone like Double T says 90.
Wow. how earliest recollection of wrestling was the end of the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. If she started to watch wrestling
about 7 or 8 years old
with her family, she was like being born. She caught probably the worst era of WWE ever. Like, I mean, that's
94, 95.
Like, I would say it started to die down real bad. Like between 90 and 92. Hogan was still like Hogan was still big. But at the same time, it's like it was so gimmick heavy at that time, and it was just like,
yeah, but
you know,
was so good though.
The Monday Night Wars is what really helped it tremendously.
Yeah.
It was really gimmick heavy because you have to think about it. Raw started in 93. And so at that time, like right before Raw, like Raw started in January of 93. So right before Raw was like prime time wrestling and like, you know, stuff that was recorded like, you know, 8 months in advance. So, you know, it's like, you know, it was, I would say probably 92, you know, Bret Hart was starting to, catch his stride around that time, but he was still going. Him and Michaels was still
crybaby Bret.
So there was
names like Max Moon and Mantar. You can't forget those guys.
Yeah, don't forget about Fire Ferguson. Don't forget about Fry Ferguson and T.L. Hopper. Those great. Those legends.
T.L. Hopper.
Michael, you are Michael. Hang tight, man. Michael here on the live stream. He said a match that may be the one that I'm talking about. Peggy says you are good talking on the radio. Thank you. Thank you very much there. So yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, let's get going. Let's start with War Games. Just overarching thoughts. We'll start with Double T as far as your thoughts on War Games.
All right, well, I'll keep it quick. You know, I always find NXT lately to be kind of a superior show just in terms of, like, wrestling. I enjoy the wrestling side of it just as much as I enjoy the character side. And I think one of the reasons I really enjoyed War Games and just NXT in general is I feel like the wrestlers, you know, they have a lot more to prove out there in the ring. They actually get to wrestle more. And one of the big parts about it, the energy of the fans, they were nuts during the NXT War Games. And I think that really just kind of sold it over the top. You take away the energy of that crowd, you just had just a regular match on the WWE Network. But, I mean, overall, I enjoyed the show. I thought it was good. I thought the actual War Games itself was great. I hope they make it a regular event.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think it's my turn to put this match over. I'm going to put it over. Strongly. The best match of the night. Okay, so let's say this. War Games was a very, very, very solid show. I was very surprised at Drew and Almas. I was not expecting that. I was not expecting that at all. Zamian says War Games did not live up to the hype it was supposed to have. I can see if it was main roster, but NXT. Interesting. I think it lived up to the hype. I think it just lived up to the hype. You know, it didn't really. I mean, overall, the overall card, it didn't, like, you know, vastly supersede the hype. The War Games match was good. The War Games match was really good, but I understand that the, you know, no roof was because of the ceiling, and, you know, because they wanted to have the spots on there. And I get it, and there were some good spots on there. Adam Cole, you know, he went up there and did the dive. But you know, I'm a traditionalist, you know, so I like the roof. I like the lid on there. You know, Vince McMahon reportedly vetoed that. Triple H wanted the tradition. And yeah, Matt says the cage had no top, so it was not War Games. Yeah, I feel that way too. I understand that they wanted to evolutionize, you know, the War Games concept, but you know, I think that you could have had some good spots on there. Now, of course, you don't want the roof or the top to be as low as it was when J.J. Dillon jacked up his shoulder from the Doomsday device, and then Brian Pillman from the powerbomb. The top was very low at that time, but I would have made it higher, kind of like a Hell in a Cell type of thing, maybe a little lower than that, but still kind of a Hell in a Cell type of concept there. They didn't need to hide on top of the cage. I think that the action was good enough to not have the high spots. But overall it was good. I still couldn't really get into the three teams. The story behind it was good. You know, Roddy being offered to join the Undisputed Era and declining it and kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. They plug that as far as why he's with the Authors of Pain. So the story behind it made sense, and I was okay with that. And it was a good spot for Roddy too, because he's kind of been playing just under the radar, just kind of run of the mill, just there. In instances, he had some title opportunities, but wasn't able to get to there. He had title opportunities against Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre, but he was unsuccessful in all of those. So, yeah, I mean, I was glad that he got a pretty prominent spot. But, I'm still not sold on Almas. Just as a, I mean, he was amazing in Japan and Mexico, but he was Intercontinental Champion, IWGP, in New Japan, but I'm not quite sold on him. Now, Selena Vegas, I believe, Thea Trad, I had her on my show before, very, very nice person. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that she's in that spot. I'm glad she's had that opportunity, because it's a good spot to put her. She's helped Almas a lot, but I mean, just having him as champ just at this point, I'm not quite sold on that. McIntyre is going to be out for a while, so you know, there's not very many competitors for him right now as far as the babyface, other than Aleister Black. And speaking of Aleister Black, that is actually my segue to putting this match incredibly over. Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream was, I mean, that match was
phenomenal.
Just absolutely incredible. I mean, just everything about my little teenage child kayfabe Chris Featherstone just aroused in me and just like was volcanic. And it was I was so immersed in that match. It was so old school. It was so character driven. The story was perfectly told, and it's so funny how a match like that can prove how diluted championships are nowadays. Because the storyline behind that was for weeks, Velveteen Dream wanted Aleister Black to say his name. That was his. He wanted Aleister Black is popular. He wanted to rub some of that popularity off of him. So he's wanting the rub from Black. He's wanting Black to put him over. So he's wanting him to say his name. So he's forced him week by week by week. And Black doesn't say his name, and then he comes out with the Rick Rude tights, which was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was great.
In-ring,
it was great.
As Patrick Clark, he's always been good, but he always just needed that extra type of umph. He needed that correct character. He came out as Patrick Clark before, and then he played some type of like uber American type of gimmick that didn't go very well at all, and so. This Velveteen Dream character is so perfect for him, and when his character fits just his in-ring work, and just he was so over that the Houston crowd after probably 2 minutes started cheering him more than Black, and
awesome.
Because
yeah.
he was so in his character, and it just goes to show that. You know, you can have all these flip matches, all these indie style matches, but at the end of the day, characters matter. And that's exactly what happened. And at the end of the match, Velveteen Dream is trying to like crawl over to Aleister Black. He's in his cross leg position. He says, "Enjoy infamy, Velveteen Dream." The crowd goes bananas. I mean, just that whole story, just from start to finish, just the mocking, gyrating in front of Black, him turning his head while he was, you know, in the cross leg position, and then Aleister Black just kind of shrugging his shoulders and then dropping down in front of him. I mean, that had nothing to do with wrestling. I mean, that was not even a wrestling move. That was a character showcase. That was more over than any move they could have possibly done. So I think that match was absolutely incredible. And I'm definitely going to watch it again and again and again and relive my childhood kayfabe days on that one. So, Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, your thoughts, Evan, on War Games.
I enjoyed War Games. It was, like you said, the 10, 11-year-old me was just going back to the memories of the double cage, the roof on top, and the aesthetic covering, the long ramp, and Tony Schiavone and Heenan or Ventura. I'm a old school guy like you, and I wanted the roof on top of the cage. It's still War Games. I mean, fans are going to be crying about, oh, it wasn't a roof, it was a War Games. I shut your mouth. You got War Games. Vince finally approved something that was not his creation. You know how Vince is with that. And we got what we got. Overall, the pay-per-view was very decent. Now, the Velveteen Dream match was excellent. I know Patrick Hall personally. He's from here. He came from MCW. He's come a long way, so I'm proud to see him in his Velveteen Dream.
He's 22.
He is. 22 years old. Yeah. I remember when he started, he was about 18, 19 when I met him. And with his Velveteen Dream, Prince-esque. I even thought about Prince Ike. I remember his character back in 99. Paisley.
Taff Cappy.
Yeah, Taff Cappy, right.
the artist formerly known as Prince Ike.
Yes. But I enjoyed War Games. I like the feel of how NXT is a different feel from watching the main roster. You watch Raw, SmackDown, you watch Survivor Series, and you watch NXT regular show on TakeOver. It's a totally different feel. Granted, we watch ROH, we watch New Japan, so NXT basically is the closest you're going to get to indie wrestling in WWE.
Yep.
In league, because Triple H does run it, so I thought War Games was very well done. I thought War Games in some regards was better than Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Speaking of Survivor Series, Travis, let's get your thoughts on Survivor Series.
All right, well, I'm usually the champion of positivity on here. It was a nice show.
You are.
But for me, it was not as enjoyable as I wanted it to be. And the reason being the logic behind the matches, because the last time I was on, you mentioned how the logic of these guys fighting on, like, Monday or Tuesday and then showing up at the event, the team together, and it just kind of really struck with me. Wrestling needs that coherence in its storylines, and this didn't have any. Plus, champion versus champion matches, they're tricky. More often than not, like, one champion is left looking weaker than the other. I think it worked with Warrior and Hogan at WrestleMania 6 because you had a passing of the torch and the vacating of a title. But when you have, like, the champion of each brand going at it with no titles on the line, no passing of the torch, it just doesn't work. You know, AJ Styles was dominated by Brock Lesnar, and he came out looking like the champion of the B show, not even the same league. I think overall the whole show just didn't work.
Interesting observation there. Evan, what's your observation on Survivor Series?
The Survivor Series. Best match was 12 Days, Uso. Uso's in the bar. The match was amazing. Uso's my favorite tag team right now. I'm so glad they did the Samoan Thugs, Hoodlums, whatever you want to call them. They got rid of doing all that incomparable taunts and yelling. I was okay. All the matches happened as I thought. Charlotte did have a good competitive match with Alexa Bliss. Why was Roman Reigns not wearing a Raw shirt when he wore it leading up to the feud? You wear the Raw shirt representing Raw, but then when the match comes, you wear the vest. This doesn't make sense. All the matches overall was decent. The 5-on-5 match, I feel, could have been better. I feel like if this match was in 91, 92, when it was character-driven, I think the match would have been, and you had actual bookers, you know, former wrestlers booking this, the match could have been so much better. The Survivor Series match wasn't bad, but this, to me, this left a lot to desire. And then the ending with Trips, Pedigree, and Angle, because he wanted to be selfish to pin Shane, and it's like, what? This makes no sense. Why does Triple H want to be the one to pin Shane? It was his dumb.
Why did he put his shirt over?
Exactly, he didn't.
Why did he even, like, he couldn't even wear a Raw shirt. He had to put his shirt over.
It's Triple H. It's Triple H and Captain Full Kid Cena is going to promote the new merchandise. And you can't really blame it because the Full Kid is going to want to buy it. Now, a lot of kids don't know how to speak Greek and don't know Latin, so they're probably going to have to use Google to figure out what it is. But every Triple H wore the color of Raw. I like going to the ring, so they don't wear anything but the same outfit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Strowman, Triple H, great acting with his eyes turned to red, of course, his memes everywhere with Triple H getting tripped up by Strowman, and Strowman beating him up at the end. I just feel like the ending could have been better executed. I mean,
yeah.
I just feel like the pedigree and Angle, this was his overkill. You could have caused Angle to lose or come up with some kind of way. You could have, if anything, Angle could have had Shane in the ankle lot. He could have tagged himself in, then pinned Shane and wanted to be the one. You know what I mean? Something like that. Instead of setting your angle, this game was just for me.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the Survivor Series was solid altogether, but just it was just a big cluster mess at the end. It just was. It just, I mean, I still wasn't buying into the Raw versus SmackDown bragging rights. There was nothing. There was no stipulation at all to it. I mean, it was good that they were teasing. I mean, the hype in the moment was good that they were teasing, you know, like the Bobby Roode and Triple H, and then like the Shinsuke and Finn Balor when they were in. And, you know, Houston helped that a lot as far as just kind of keeping that hype up. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just wasn't very satisfying to me as far as that's concerned. I think, Steven, what do you think about Paige's return and NXT call-ups? Yes, we'll be talking about that here in just a moment. Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, I just really don't think that it was it didn't really mean too much, because at the end of the day, it went right back to Raw feuds and SmackDown feuds. So, if there was some type of stipulation, like I think a really good stipulation would have been at the Royal Rumble, like whoever wins the Survivor Series, those five people would have been five contenders for the World Championship or the whatever the represent. So it would have been a six-man match at Royal Rumble. Why not? And so it's like, you know, I think that, say, for instance, since Team were all one, just think about all those six people against Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble.
Nice.
I mean, that would have been a really awesome, awesome thing. Someone saying they like my WrestleMania wallpaper behind me in my studio here. Thank you very much. I have, for those who are not watching live or are watching through audio, I have a I created a WrestleMania wallpaper of all of the WrestleManias. So all the posters of the WrestleManias collaged together, and it's on the one of my walls in my studio. So it stands out. People come in my studio and my house and know that I'm a wrestling fan. Well, otherwise, why would I be having WrestleMania stuff on my wall? John asks, do you think Sanity should be on the main roster? No, I do not think they should be on the main roster yet. Joseph asks, they should Shane versus KO and Sammy at WrestleMania. I don't mind that match at all. I don't mind that. I don't mind Shane versus Owens and Sami Zayn. However, Shane needs a partner, so whoever that partner could be, maybe. Travis, who would Shane's partner be if he went against Owens and Zayn at WrestleMania?
Oh, my God. I was. Can I pick anybody? Does that have to be an active wrestler?
If someone from SmackDown.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to say AJ Styles.
Can you
I don't
take
know.
Or two, you can use Taker, too, if you want, although I hope you don't say that.
No, I'd go with AJ Styles because I think Styles and Owen and Styles and Zayn could have some good matches in there. Some good action, I should say.
All right, AJ. Evan. Evan, who would you be?
Sorry, friends, with technical difficulties. Go ahead, from the song.
Who would be Shane's partner against Owens and Zayn at WrestleMania?
Oh, man. Can't be AJ Styles. He's supposed to be going against Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Zack Ryder.
Oh, gosh.
Linda, your name.
Oh, Evan made me. See, I wasn't expecting to do this already.
Linda, man.
I
say Linda. Linda. It's time to shake things up again. Linda,
Kyle says this.
All jokes aside, I would double my answer. If you go through the storyline, if WWE stays consistent, the whole reason, Vince got mildly wiped by Kevin Owens. Shane fought Vince Owens. So it makes sense to have Vince and Shane go against Owens. I understand. However,
I would cry, man.
If Vince is in the match,
it would be so hard to see.
But look at it like this. If Vince is in the match,
for those listening live, Evan said Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is Evan's. Travis says AJ Styles, and Evan says Vince McMahon, and I'm crying inside even thinking about that.
AJ's going against Nakamura. They're going to have
the
rematch of Wrestle Kingdom. What was it, 9? WWE fans don't think outside the box. They're going to think this is the first time they ever fought. Storyline-wise, for Vince, love it or hate it, Vince will sell tickets. And look at it like this. We've all witnessed the worst WrestleMania match in history with Vince, and that's Vince against Bret.
Hmm.
Oh,
so it always could be one of them.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Just because Trump
hasn't
come back to
Mania. Him and LeVar Ball are going against each other at WrestleMania.
Yeah, LeVar Ball, there you go.
Yeah, that's the WrestleMania match. So my pick for Shane's partner, if he would go against Owens and Zayn, my pick for Shane's partner would be I would pick Bobby Roode. That's who my pick would be. Because I don't see Bobby Roode being in a big WrestleMania marquee moment unless it's some multi-person ladder match or something like that. I don't see him being in some big marquee match right now.
To the credit of my staff, the whole team, everyone else, if you notice the main event of Survivor Series.
Oh, somebody said Jericho. Allende, Jericho. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good choice. Wasn't it Allende?
Allende, he said Jericho.
Allende, good choice. Shout out to myself to notice this. Look at the Survivor Series main event. You might as well call it TNA RH Takeover. Because if you look at it, Bobby Roode, Joe and Angle, looking at each other like they didn't wrestle again. Yeah, they did. TNA, Finn Balor. It was a good amount of the match with RHTNA, which you got to give credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to AJ. I forgot to mention AJ and Brock was an amazing match. Say what you want against Brock and Jimmy Jones.
Second half was good. Yeah, the second half was good.
Once Brock decided to give AJ, give AJ the rub, it was good. I mean, you knew what was going to happen at the end. And you got to give it to Brock.
Yeah.
Brock did something that even Captain Ken Cena doesn't do. And even the Immortal Hulk Hogan didn't do. Something, of course, Sting did and Savage. Brock still sells after the match. Brock doesn't just get up and walk away.
We got a bunch of comments here. A bunch of comments here. Cena versus Taker, no, not going to happen. Triple H versus Kurt Mania, yes, I can see that. Braun is going over at WrestleMania. The Beast will be conquered. I don't see that. What do you think about Paige and her friends? We'll talk about that in a minute. Dominic asks, do you think Sammy is becoming one of the top heels? No, I don't. I think that he's doing okay in the heel. I think he's kind of. I listened to the Edge and Christian, the ENC pod interview, and he said, most of his career, just about all of his career, has been a babyface. He said he wanted to have that Randy, that Ricky Steamboat style career as being just a babyface this whole time, but Vince, you know, gave him the idea and he took it. And I think that he's running with it. I think he's doing a decent job at it. I like the Uber type of annoying, you know, thing that he's doing, but you know. Daniel, a lot of people saying Daniel Bryan. I don't see that because, you know, he's not able to do it yet. CM Punk versus AJ Styles. Hopefully not. Someone says, give me a shout out on the air. I will not give you a shout out on the air. I don't take demands. Sammy still looks like a good guy. Haha. Kyle. Yes, I agree. The person who said, give me a shout out on the air, I will give you a shout out if you answer this question. You just put yourself on the spot. So I'm going to ask you a Survivor Series trivia question. You know who you are. Said, give me a shout out on the air. If you get this right, you will get a shout out on the air. So the question is, what Survivor Series debuted the first Elimination Chamber match and who won? All right, so the person said, give me a shout-out. The question is, what Survivor Series debuted the first Elimination Chamber match and who won? All right, so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into some headlines tonight. We're going to skim through these headlines for the wonderful interview about NWA. We got so much to go. So without further ado, let's get to the headlines. All right, live stream, let us know your thoughts on James Ellsworth being released. Ellsworth being released. Yeah, man, no chin music. He was here for a year.
Better man.
I mean, listen, he lived his dream. You know, he was, not a lot of people say that he can't, not a lot of people can say, that they were in the WWE for 1 year and beat AJ Styles twice and was a part of the WWE Championship match. Well, kind of. He kind of had a spot and then he got beat up by AJ Styles. So
he technically won the Money in the Bank ladder match.
He did. He did. I've got some comments here. Ellsworth exceeding all expectations, Joey says. Matt says ROH bound, just like Jimmy Jacobs. Well, Jimmy Jacobs is in Impact Wrestling now. He's he's for the past couple weeks, he's kind of been interrupting the commentating booth. So it looks like he's got a spot with also Sammy Callahan recently debuted with OVE. Looks like they're going the heel route now. I actually spoke to Jake Crist recently. Chatted with a few times. So trying to get him on the show, but the schedules are not aligning. He definitely wants to be on the show, but their taping schedule is quite crazy. So it's really interesting. And then they have to they'll tape for a long time. Then they have to kind of compensate themselves with a ton of indie dates, but especially how Impact Wrestling works. You tape for 4 days for months, and then to compensate, the people just have to load themselves with indie dates. Kenny Omega re-signed with New Japan. I believe so. Yes, I believe so. I think the Jericho thing is even going to increase his stock in New Japan, and we'll see. Double T, let us know your thoughts on James Ellsworth being axed.
Well, honestly, I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did. But honestly, I think they could have done more with him. You know, he didn't have the look of a WWE wrestler, and I don't think he would have done well in 205, honestly, either. But I thought he worked well with Carmella, and I think it could have been used more in, the role of, the sleazy sidekick, or even they could have gone back to, an old-school manager type of role for him, because he had that vibe where you just, I don't know, for me, you just didn't like him, and he was comfortable not only, like, being in the ring, but he was comfortable getting beat up, too, and looking good like we got beat up, you know? They could have gone farther. There was more roles that he could have done that didn't have anything to do with him wrestling.
Yeah.
I think there's a missed opportunity there.
Yeah. I like the 205 Live idea, though. I think that's a really cool idea. That's your boy. That's your boy, Evan. Let us know your thoughts on Ellsworth.
Yes, my boy, Jimmy Wang Yang. Remember that? Who's actually promoting the party bus business? Good old Jimmy Ellsworth. He's from here. He's from Maryland. I've supported his local show, ECW, here. I've been on the road with the man. I've traveled with him. We've been in each other's houses. So I'm happy because he got to live his dream. I'm happy he got to work in WWE. He had his WrestleMania moment. His win-loss record is 0-1. You know, he did one match with Cena and lost. And all in all is this. This is legit source from within. Vince McMahon hired him because Vince thought he was weird. Vince likes that weird stuff. Vince likes the fact that Jimmy looks like, that's his name, Jimmy, looks like he has no chin. So because that's the whole focus of someone hiring you, just because you look weird, not based upon your athletic prowess, not because of your athletics or anything, you know your shelf life is going to go low. So I've actually called it and told people once did. Now, I remember texting Jimmy when he got signed and you told him, man, congratulations, we're all proud of you. A lot of people was hating on him. A couple of current WWE stars right now that work for NXT that are not mentioning names hated on Jimmy when he got caught up. And it's surprisingly how things changed when they got caught up at the same time. But like I said, a lot of the boys in WWE wasn't happy that he was there, because he wasn't a fan, JBL, Jibble, but Jibble doesn't matter. He's not even on TV, but... Like they always say, you ride your ride until it's over. He was on. He had his ride. He had his name in a moment. I'm proud of him. And now he's back to working indies and you can't take that away. He can always say for the rest of his life, I worked in WWE for a good amount of months. I wrestled against John Cena. I've had him in at WrestleMania. I've been in the ring. Right, I've been right. I've been against Braun Strowman. I've been in the ring with Undertaker. So you gotta give him his props.
What do you say? Any man with two hands has a fucking chance.
Yeah, and another thing too, he sold a good amount of merchandise. The Ellsworth shirt.
He did.
And any man with two hands has a fighting chance. So,
yeah.
I mean, he did something very quickly. That some people in WWE right now has been there for years and still have no merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And still have no catchphrases.
Yeah. CJ asks, her speculation that John Cena could be retiring. Do you know anything about that? I've heard that he's going to be full-time. I think John Cena, he has so much... he's really a tried and true diehard WWE guy. So even if he wants to retire, he's going to still be like, I'm with the WWE. So he'll find a way, to be a part of WrestleMania like he did when he was injured. He did a run in with the Rock. So that was he had to get his check. So shout out to Bruce, man. He says, hi, mate, from Sydney, Australia. So over the border here. John asks, what do you think of the Undisputed Era? I've never been an Adam Cole guy. I've just, I'm one of the minorities there, but I've never been high on Adam Cole. Now, I think that he's fantastic. I think he's a very, very solid wrestler. I think the Undisputed Era is a very, very good faction for NXT. I've never been that guy who marks out when he says Adam Cole, baby, or gets the shirts or I've never been that guy. Samuel asks, do you think Jay Lethal would make his way to WWE? Eventually, yes. He is still my favorite wrestler. Yeah, I think he is still the greatest wrestler in the world. And Jay Lethal's my guy. And I think that eventually he'll make his way. But, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think that the WWE will use him correctly. So that is my issue with that. So the guy who wants to, so the guy here in the live stream who wants to put himself over, keeps saying the same answer, but it's incorrect. So I gotta give you a buzz, man. The correct answer is 2002, and the winner was Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels in the brown boots and the brown makeup gear. I heard he lost his gear or something like that, and they had to hurry up and put something together. The brown boots and the doo-doo gear. So that was definitely not a Shawn Michaels wardrobe that you would want. That was his last title win too. 2002. It's crazy that he hasn't been world champion 15 years. But yeah, so I mean, he retired when 2010. He retired at 25. Was it 25 he retired?
I think so. I think that's right.
Yeah, because him and Taker did two WrestleManias. Might have been. It was 26 because 25 was the one that Marty Elias refereed. That was the first one. Not six was the one. Because 24, was it him and Cena at 24? Because I think he retired Flair at 23, was it?
Flair was retired at
22, wasn't it?
Was Flair retiring? Was it
22 was 11 years ago, 2006.
Flair retired the last time he was in Orlando. I think it was 24. Because then
Pete said it was 26. Pete said it was 26 at Michaels' last Mania. Okay, thanks. Thank you, Pete, from the live stream. Yeah, it was 26.
Okay.
26. Flair was retired when
24.
It was 24 when Flair.
Yeah, because Marty was because it was the last time it was in Orlando. Because he was in Orlando this year, and yeah, I think it is 24.
Okay, yeah. And so 23
and
must have been him and Cena then.
Yes.
I don't know him and Cena main event at 23.
23 was Cena and Michaels, and 22 was Cena and Triple H.
Nice.
Was that 22 Cena angle too? I mean, a Michaels angle? Who did Michaels go against?
Yes.
Was it
angle 22
or?
Was... No. Michael's angle was 21.
Okay. 22. Because I know 22
Michael
was
18,
right?
Yeah. 22 was big time. That was Triple H and Cena.
big
time. Shout out to. I hated this song, but it was too damn
good. Shout out to Peter Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen.
Peter Gabriel.
I'm on my way, I'm making it.
Still, Philip Collins. Christ, still singing that song.
So much larger than life.
I'm going to play this song, dropping the work.
Right.
Blast. Big time.
Play it big time.
Play,
absolutely.
Play that in Baltimore City. Does not give you no points. Peter Gabriel. You get some room and
you look. If you bump some Peter Gabriel in Baltimore tomorrow, let me know, because I will start laughing hysterically wherever I'm at. What in the world is he doing? yeah. Real quick, Travis, your thoughts on Taz? I mean, just real quick on Taz. He made a comment that he didn't really like the commentary team. He made a point, though. I made a point as far as just them not being authentic, and just, you know, there's no real lot of heat on, you know, between Raw and SmackDown. Corey Graves you know, he's both of them. So it's not. Oh, Michaels defeated Mr. McMahon big time at 22. Okay, so yeah, Mike, that was Michaels' spot in 22. So yeah, Travis, your thoughts on just Taz's comments on just the fact that it's not organic anymore.
I agree, 100%. That's the problem with today's announced teams. Everything's just micromanaged, and it's the same with the wrestlers. Nothing, like he said, nothing's organic. Nothing feels real. What should be genuine reactions just aren't. And honestly, I'd love to see one day just have the scripts thrown out and then answers just wing it. You know, I get that it's a show, but at the same time, it's unlike any other show out there. And it's being a show that's so based, has so much unreality to it. I think a touch of the real thing from the announce team, it would just add so much. I mean, because the announcers are a part of the overall package. They can make it, or they can break it. I mean, think back on like Steve Austin. What do you remember about Steve Austin? You remember Jim Ross screaming, "Stone Cold,
Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold."
Exactly. They help make these moments, and it needs to be off script. It really does.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, talk about off script.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. When I think of JR, I think about the fact that he almost had a heart attack just plugging the snot out of that WrestleMania 20 triple threat between Benoit, Michaels, and Jericho. I mean, just
wait a minute.
To the last like 7 minutes of like he like I was praying for the guy. Like, come on, don't fall over on us.
Please don't. My God.
I mean, he went bananas. Richard said HBK Jericho was 19. Thank you very much for that. Here's a question for the live stream here. Who did the Heenan family lose to at Survivor Series 89? Who did the Heenan family lose to at Survivor Series 1989? All right, Evan, your thoughts on The Rock's daughter wanting to be a pro wrestler? She's 16.
The
right
Rock's
now, so,
daughter wants to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, she wants to be a pro wrestler. Simone Garcia Johnson. She was,
interviewed by
the Hollywood Reporter, and she said that she wants to endeavor. She's doing like ambassador work now for like the Golden Globes, and she said, "Hey, I want to be a pro wrestler, and after that, I want to do talent management, but I want to step foot in the ring."
A lot of the fans, live stream, probably they're not gonna like me for this answer. Don't do it. Your father is The Rock. Within says The Rock. When you have a father that's a legend, your father is Michael Jordan or Walt Chamberlain or now LeBron James or Sting or Ric Flair. I mean, Charlotte gets a pass because she's a female. So the ladder isn't that tall when it comes to pro wrestling. It gets to a point, do something else. Because the shadow is so huge. Your father's The Rock, Stone Cold, Hogan, Sting. It's like, I want her to achieve her dream. I do. But it's so much work as it is to get into the business. And now, you know, Featherstone, we talked to the Tubby Blanches, and we talked to Flair. We talked to a lot of the guys who, you know, I just had Fred Ottman on my show 2 weeks ago. And his son works for WWE, but works in production. And his son wanted to be a referee. So we talked to a lot of the boys whose sons wants to be a pro wrestler, Bischoff's son. And when your father is like a giant, there's so much pressure, even the more, to just overcome it, to even get your own identity, nonetheless be successful. You look at Dustin Rhodes, his father's Dusty, you know, no one talks about the natural and the black, you know, did the whole match from Uncensored. Look to the extreme that even Dustin had to go through to get out of his father's shadow. Now The Rock's like, And I'll take it back. The fact, once again, the ceiling is not as high when it comes to winning the wrestling. So the fact Charlotte worked all great. Her dad's Flair. You can't go higher than that. So maybe the Rock Builder could go and do good things for WWE. But it is so tough. Barry, not to be funny, she has the Samoan blood, so we all know that rule. If you have Samoan blood and you're related to the Rock or the Seekers or the Offers, you're untouchable.
That's true.
Because that's why Nia Jax is still in WWE.
The headbutts.
Because Nia Jax legitimately almost killed two people in WWE, and she's still working there now.
Unfortunately, man, some really, really good questions here. Take on Wrestle Kingdom 12, I think it's going to be great. I'm not too big on Ibushi and Cody. I know it's going to be a good match, but I'm not too big on that. I would be more interested in, because Dalton Castle is going to go against Cody at Final Battle. I don't think he's going to win. I'd be totally okay if Dalton Castle wins and somehow they make it a triple threat to Wrestle Kingdom. I'll be more interested in that. Miles says Rock daughter and Noel Foley, Rock and Sock 2.0. Nice.
That's a great one.
Dominic, Ultimate Warrior. Yes, that is correct. Good job. The Ultimate Warrior.
The Ultimate Warriors.
That is the team who won. That was the Warrior, the Rockers, and Jim Neidhart. Jim Neidhart has a Survivor Series moment, ladies and gentlemen. real quick, David Otunga, Jennifer Hudson stuff, child stuff, and
Otunga and Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah. So, real quick thoughts on that, Evan. We'll start with you.
They're prenup.
They weren't even married. They were
they weren't even married yet.
They were married.
They wasn't even married. Here's the thing. It's over legal custody. At the end of the day, if you were not married, if you don't have any contract, what is hers is hers, and what is yours is yours. So just stop going through all of this stuff and move on with your life. Unless you sign a contract, and as they say, and I know judges, and as they say, if you're not married, it's a gift. If you don't have a contract that states, I'm going to pay you back, that's what it is. Just move on with your life. They're not even married. It's sad to say that you just saw it coming. I mean, Jennifer Hudson is great for what she does. David Otunga, whatever he did, you're not sure if he's even good. So I guess you can go back to law school or just download on WWE TV and do pre-game shows with Booker T and Jared King's Lawless.
Some
but,
C-rated movies. It wasn't really even kind of possessions. It was more. It was the child, the son, that they were struggling over. Reportedly, there was some amicable type of stuff that Otunga wanted to pursue, but there was some stuff that happened with that, and so it became acrimonious, and so. Travis, your quick thoughts on this craziness going on here.
You know what? The truth of the matter is we don't know what went on behind closed doors. We don't know who's to blame. That's for the courts to decide. It's easy to be an observer on the outside and say, well, you know, David Otunga's a nice guy, and he was always home for their kid, and or, you know, she worked all the time, was always gone. I don't know. Maybe they're both jerks in real life. We don't know.
True.
I think what matters most is that their child comes out of this okay.
Yes, 100%. 100% agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah, so true, Double T.
Yeah. Sonny asks, who's my favorite wrestler at the moment? Jay Lethal, 100%. Jay Lethal, my top five is Jay Lethal, number one. Number two is Roman Reigns. Number three is Kazuchika Okada. Number four is Shinsuke Nakamura. And number five, New Day is up there. Like, okay, so here, let's just do this. I'll say.
Wait.
But they're a faction. So I'll say this. I'll say number one is Jay Lethal. Number two is Roman Reigns. Number three is The New Day, whoever you want to pick there. Number four is Kazuchika Okada. and number five is Shinsuke Nakamura. So that's my top five. Yeah, thank you. All right, so real quick, let's get into our prayer requests. Awesome interaction last week from the live stream. We debuted the prayer request segment where we ask for prayer requests for all things wrong with the WWE.
Oh yeah,
nowadays. So the past week or two, there's been a lot. So we're going to go through three rounds. We're going to go straight from me to Evan to my boy Double T. And so we'll do three rounds of prayer requests. And so our hope is with these nine prayer requests, something can change within the WWE. So let's get some prayer requests. So prayer request goes to the Mr. Oz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. So there's reports that The Miz is going to be gone for a while. He's going to be written off of TV. And both Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel were nobodies before The Miz to rise. And now The Miz is going to be gone, so they're going to be relegated back to being nobodies again. So they had their moment to be on Raw for a number of weeks since The Miz to rise. Now they're going to fade back into obscurity. They might not even do The Miz to rise when they come back. So prayer request goes to Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel for a decent tag team run on Superstars.
Yes, want to put on a prayer request, Kurt Angle, stand him up. Angle, you're one of my all-time favorites. But brother, when you walk into the ring and you take a clothesline and you already winned it, you have a long way to go. Just praying for you, brother, that your stamina is built up. And I've interviewed Angle, one of my all-time favorites. Angle, you gotta get that wind up, as we say,
yeah,
in time for Mania.
Absolutely.
You look pretty winded within 2 minutes of the Survivor Series match.
All right, here's my first go at the prayer request. All right, you know, there's some people that can talk in the microphone and some people that can't, no matter how long they've been in the WWE. I pray that one day Natalya will learn to not over-enunciate everything she says on the microphone.
Yes, testify. I agree 100%. Yeah, you hit that out the park for your first prayer request. For sure.
Thank you.
Prayer request goes to Kane. What in the world is the WWE doing? Is this a swan song? I mean, all these fake heel flips throughout his 20-year career. I'm like, you know, does he go in the Hall of Fame as a face, or does he go as a heel? Does he go as the monster among men? Does he go as the demon? Does he go as corporate Kane? Does he go? Does X-Pac induct him? Does the Big Show? I mean, like, there's so much about Kane. Does he bring his voice box back? So what in the world do Kane? How does he get inducted into the Hall of Fame? Is this a swan song? I think it's about that time to just say goodbye to Kane. I mean, if he has some type of WrestleMania send-off, that would be more than expected. But Kane, you're going to be mayor of Knox County. I'm pulling for you, brother, but you've got to go.
Well, my next prayer request is, brothers and sisters, that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins stop using the same time. Come on, guys. If you look at the entrance, Reigns has generic taunt too in the WWE games. Seth Rollins with the same taunt, he just adds the little chest bump to it. Chest bumps are so generic, it's like cutting up the one arm for the two sweeps. Reigns and Rollins, especially Rollins, just please add some originality to your entrance. It's not hard that hard to come up with new taunts. Please. Please help me.
Oh man, you guys are good at this. Let's see. You know, some things, I think some concepts work in the WWE, and sometimes it just does not go together. And so I'm keeping this one short. I'm going to say I pray that we never, ever see a Raw versus SmackDown pay-per-view again.
I agree with that, absolutely.
I couldn't take it.
Yeah. All right, I got one more. Prayer request goes to not the Pretty Mean Sisters, but the new PMS. Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. I hope they come out to the old PMS music, though, because it's just hilarious to me. But I'm not buying the faction yet. I'm just not. I think Mandy Rose, you know, I think that she was really popular on Tough Enough. I think her attitude kind of helped her, kind of hurt her a lot because she was kind of haughty. But, you know, she spent some time in NXT. She got humbled. I will humble you. She got humbled, like the Iron Sheik says. And, you know, I think she has the look. I think she has the determination. She, you know, a lot of people, she had that split screen with the Trish Stratus. So, you know, if you have a split screen with Trish Stratus, you know, of course, you're going to be destined to greatness. At least the WWE will make you destined to greatness, no matter how your in-ring work is. Although Trish evolved very well in the ring. I think Mandy has that ability as well. But Sonya, you know, they're doing this MMA thing with her, but they're supposed to, you know, reportedly bring back this, you know, the Four Horsewoman to do it. So she's going to be shrouded with her MMA character. It's just a weird pairing to me. I think both of them should have been in NXT a little longer and just kind of established themselves there. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And then, of course, we get Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. All three of them were baby faces, especially Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott. I mean, they were two of the biggest baby faces in NXT, and they were just barely making it there. How in the world am I expected for them to do good on SmackDown? So, prayer request for this, the creative team, for just throwing stuff together and expecting us to just digest it. I think it was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that's prayer request very quickly is that Seth Rollins, please find an identity. Can we figure out what you are? Can we figure out your character? We don't know what you want to do with your life in the world of wrestling. First it was burn it down, get an architect, then get a Kingslayer. But now apparently you're an arsonist that got promoted for the WWE video game, but nobody really got it, so they brought you with the Shield. What are you? You're a good guy in the ring, you have a good look, my skills are mediocre, but someone can put in detail what you are. Stone Cold Steve Austin's mentioned it, I've mentioned it, Southern Stone's mentioned it. I'm sure Double T, he definitely goes off on. Seth Rollins, please find identity. Please let us know your character. Please let us know a backstory for this begging you so we can relate to you when we watch you on TV. In
yes.
Jesus' name.
Shabbat.
Shabbat.
Oh, man.
Got one more.
All right, one more. Let's see. You know, there's at some point, wrestlers got to move on. We have to have new talent up there at the top of the card. Too many guys keep coming back and doing it over and over again, and I pray that we never see another Triple H title run again.
Oh. Yes.
He's a nice guy.
Oh,
man.
Ooh,
nice
man, it feels like you've been doing this for a long time, Travis.
I know. This might turn
into a three of out the park. That is for sure. Oh, I love it. Matt says his prayer request for the WWE to bring in some of the indies and make them feel like the old territory days. Good one. I like that.
Good one.
Young says, it's not paranoia. It's the Uso. Oh, I love it. Their promos are hilarious. They just kind of like bounce off each other. It's just hilarious, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good prayer request, Matt. Thank you for sharing. All right, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to Raw SmackDown review. Real quick, your really elevator thoughts on SmackDown, Travis, on Raw and SmackDown.
Raw and SmackDown, they were both, they were both decent shows. I think I expect a little bit more after a big pay-per-view event. I kind of the carbon copy thing with, you know, the women coming up from NXT, doing some attacks on there. It was just, I felt like I was watching the same show two nights in a row.
That's
the fast version for you.
Yeah, I think that was good. Evan?
Same thing like Double T said, the same show two nights in a row. I thought Raw was okay. Reigns was the IC champion. Yippee yahoo. He's now the Grand Slam champion. Who cares? Moving on. The Miz goes on.
I like Roman Reigns.
I like Roman Reigns, too, but he's winning the IC title. It's like, okay, he didn't already won everything else. He was given the IC title. He has nothing else better to do. The Miz is going on to film the Marine 6 or 8 or the Marine 15.
Right.
Pray that they don't do another Marine movie. And SmackDown, AJ Styles goes against Maharaja Jinder Juice for the title. Jinder Mahal is going to be trying to get his title back. But Southern Raw was this decent. I don't know, Featherstone, you were just elated with joy to see what had Roman Reigns with the IC Championship, which for some reason, they don't even like saying the word Intercontinental anymore.
Yes.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think I like Roman Reigns with the title because I think it brings – I think Miz has done a good job. But the only thing is that he hasn't really defended it much. I think he did a very good job on SmackDown with it, but not so much Raw. So, I think it was getting a bit stale there. And it's good. I mean, I think – and this funny thing about Roman Reigns is that people are marking out Roman Reigns. And Houston was a very marking crowd.
Yeah,
this weekend, and he is uber cheers. So,
what hair?
WWE,
like,
it's working.
Doing something
the placebo, the placebo effect is working. it's working.
What hair?
It's working well. Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get to the flavor of the week. We're going to talk about war games matches. It's going to be. I'm really excited to hear these from everyone. So. The War Games Mega Match, five faces from War Games, five heels from War Games. We'll be right back with the Flavor of the Week.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right. Let's go, Travis. What is your three? Your two, rather.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Okay, my five heels. It'd have to be, of course, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, AA Arn Anderson, and all three fabulous Freebirds. Can't
Ooh.
Beat those guys. Yeah, and then the five faces. I'm going to go with Rick Steamboat, Dusty Rhodes, Sting, and the Road Warriors.
Nice. I like it. What do you got, Evan?
Sorry, brother, I guess it is my turn, isn't it? Ultimate War Games match heels, I'm going to say it like Michael Buffer, heels, Ric Flair, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, and the Midnight Express. That is Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey. Faces will be Hogan, Dustin Rhodes, baby, Sting the Goat, and the Road Warriors.
I like it.
That's good.
Top that.
Yeah, okay, I will.
Real quick, we're a special DLC apprentice by Charlie Funk. He has to get power driven and has to fall in between the ring to get in full
game. Oh, man. I will never forget that. Was that the end of a Class of the Champions when he did that? Because when he
No,
judging,
no, no, that was actually...
He was judging
not, a match. No, it was looking. No. When he judges, when he almost broke for his neck and
that was classic.
War Games. He was in one of the matches and got put in the power driver and he fell in between the rings. It was like 93 and 94.
So the Class of the Champions led to the War Games match, right?
for the Clash of the Champions led to the Texas Knockout when he fought Flair.
That was Great American Bash, wasn't it? Now, I think it was 89, Great American Bash, when they went against each other, Funk and Flair.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah,
the
I think Clash of the Champions.
One of the fall balls. It's one of them.
I think it was
Clash
of the Champions. I think it was Clash of the Champions that Terry Funk. I think for some reason I remember him being a judge or something. He was a judge of one of Ric Flair's matches and then he came in.
Yeah.
He
almost broke his neck.
Yeah. Cut the promo.
He came back from Rocky.
Was asking Flair to be a part of his to for a title match and Flair kept denying it. And eventually, he did a terrible look at the foul driver. The foul driver was horrible. Yes. So they had an I Quit match, I think is what it's. The I Quit match was Clash of the Champions, November 15th, 1989. Yeah. All right, so here's my faces is so there were so many good ones. There were so many. Matt says, "Good morning from Germany, Steffi." All right, so the baby faces would be the Road Warriors, Sting, Ron Simmons, and Goldberg. How about that?
Whoa!
And I have IR Ultimate. Just in case two people, they have contract issues or they get injured. So those alternates would be Hulk Hogan and Dusty Rhodes forever. Whoever two gets out of IR, gets in on the IR for some reason. My heels are Ric Flair, Sid Vicious, Rick Rude, Vader, and Arn Anderson. And,
nice.
Wow.
Nikita
Koloff?
No, see, because Nikita played mostly a face on War Games, though. I didn't want to put him on a face.
What about the Russians? I mean, in the 80s, when they was in War Games. I'm sorry, that was obvious.
Yeah.
Crusher Crusade.
I was thinking about Nikita, but he was mostly known for when he was on the baby face scene. My alternates are Ming and Tully Blanchard.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Tully Blanchard.
Good old Tully.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen. There's so many good questions on here. We got to go. Maybe I can get one. If you bring back War Games, they need to bring back the bunkhouse matches. Bunkhouse Stampede. Goal was, I think, for everybody to get out of the ring. What was the goal of that? Wasn't it for people would toss people out of the cage?
It was like a rumble. It was like a rumble with weapons. It was weird.
Yeah, it was odd. But it was successful back in the 80s.
That's the creation that is.
But it's not as worse as the TNA's reverse battle royal.
That
was the worst match of that year. Yeah.
Y'all joking. 2018, I declare right now, NXT Kettle from Hell. Coming back.
Al Snow will be back.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He's gonna officiate.
Look at those scooping around the ring.
As long as they're going in the back of a flatbed truck going down the freeway again, you know?
Yeah. The black
car. Yeah.
The king of the road.
As long as they don't use somebody's dead father in a funeral being chained from a truck to lead him to build a storyline.
Hey, I'm just waiting for that San Francisco 49ers match again. I'm going to have Vinny Rue four crates around the ring.
Oh, gosh.
Blow up all the pitcher's call.
One more. Francois from the Netherlands says, who's the best general manager?
For the Netherlands.
Best GM in WWE, Daniel Bryan. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, what a fantastic, fantastic show. Thank you so much for all the live interaction. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all of the wonderful interaction. Thank you to Dave Logano once again. Thank you so much to my boy Double T, for coming back on the show. We've got to have you soon, man. This was a blast.
Absolutely.
So much fun. Of course, thank you so much to the co-host with the most, my boy, Evan Tech Proud. Catch him under Matt Radio, 7 p.m. every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday night.
Of course, here. This is Pancakes Power Slam Show, 11 p.m. every Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, with your weekly interviews and your wrestling talk. You all have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And by this time next week, I will have a brand new baby girl. So how about that?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Daddy Featherstone.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, born baby.
So if I'm not here, the show will go on. We will have people on the show to replace me if I'm not here. We will have an interview
I'll
record. Definitely have the interview still. So stay
I'll
tuned. Crave Wrestling Facebook page and Twitter at Crave Wrestling to stay abreast with what's going on the next week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the wonderful show. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless on behalf of Evan Tech and Travis Taylor. This is Chris Featherstone, Crave Wrestling, signing off. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
It's been an honor.
I see you guys.
Love you guys. Good night.